The Lord is asking for full surrender, not just a biyam. We were speaking a few weeks ago about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a possibility that many in the church could be left behind. And Jesus is calling you because he loves you. Calling you to full surrender because of his love. Well, today's Pentecost Sunday, and many people across the world today is celebrating this day, and a lot of people are celebrating as if it's just a thing of the past, you know, distant history. However, the event of that day is still happening today, I've got to tell you, right across the world. Amen. Jesus is still moving. The book of Acts is still being written. God is still working by his power right across this world. He's pouring out his spirit. Pentecost is a Jewish feast day, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. And it was on this day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon 120 followers of Jesus Christ gathered in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, 15. It was on this day that the church was born. Pentecost marks the day when the law was given to Israel, sometimes called Shimka Torah or Joy of the Law. In the Old Testament, on the day of Pentecost, Israel received the law. In the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, the church received the spirit of grace and fullness. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. The title of my sermon today is United. Not Manchester United or Sheffield United, but Eden United. Amen. Amen. And anybody supporting that team? Just a few. Oh, yes. I was watching football the other day, and it was amazing to see how those guys were going crazy for their team. Are there any Eden supporters here? Any Manchester United supporters? Wolves. Who are they? Manchester City. Oh. Somebody help me. Spurs. Tottenham Hotspurs. Eden United. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Can you imagine that? It's still going on today. We have been praying, even this morning, we've been praying, Lord, send revival. Lord, do it again. I often pray this. Lord, do it again. Just like you did in the book of Acts. Lord, we need to see the sick healed. We need to see miraculous things happening now. The dead raised. Miracles perform. The pouring out of your spirit upon all flesh, just like Joel. We need another Pentecost. I've got to tell you about the church. Need another Pentecost. And when I began looking at these questions, I asked myself, what is happening to the church today? Where are we as believers? Where are we? What is happening to us? How effective are we as believers, as miracle workers, as children of God? How effective are we? Are we just existing, hoping to die at some point and go to heaven? I'm going to tell you that it's more than that. We ask ourselves, where is the church? What is happening? And to help us to answer some of these questions, we go to the book of Acts. We've just left Easter, and it's recorded in all the Gospels that Jesus was crucified. He died and he rose again from the dead. After which he showed, the Bible says, he showed himself to many over a period of 40 days. And he performed many miracles. This is written in the Word. Some of the things that Jesus did, the Bible tells us, there was so much that it could not be recorded. It could not hold the things that Jesus did. But the ones that were recorded, John said, they were recorded so that we might know that his testimony is true. I've come to tell somebody today, everything that you're about to hear is true from God. Everything. We've just read about it, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell somebody that God is still pouring out his Spirit in these last days. Yes, he is. One of the things that we notice is that the work of Jesus Christ did not finish at the cross. I'm going to tell you that. Some people thought, still thinking now, that it's all over. His work did not finish at the cross. But we see his personal interventions and the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts, and it's still happening today. Its writer, the book of Acts writer, Dr. Luke, he provides us with a coordinated account of the beginning of the church. That work that started 2,000 years ago must continue. Everything that Jesus had started must continue. And it is still continuing today. And who of us are going to do this work? But you and I, with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit came. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. When you examine Jesus' last instructions, just before he's taken up into heaven, after those 40 days, he leaves his disciples some very, very important words. Remember, these are the last words that Jesus is given before he's taken away from this earth. And listen to what he says in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus wanted for the church. But he knew that without the gift of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the church would be powerless and the church would be ineffective. Jesus knew that we need as church an unction. Because if there is no unction, then there is no function. And only the Holy Spirit can provide that. The church needs an unction. The church needs power. Otherwise, All we're doing is just existing as a social club or a religious organization. The church needs power today.
Yes, amen.
120 of Jesus' disciples, they waited 10 days, and the Bible says that there was a sound that came from heaven like a violent rushing wind that filled the room where they were sitting, and tongues of fire separated and sat upon each of their heads, and they were, this is what I love, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It took a whirlwind from heaven and fire to kickstart the church. Let this whirlwind, this is my prayer, let this whirlwind come again, Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit descend. Don't you think the church needs an awakening?
Yes.
Don't you believe that the church in these end times needs this power? I have no fear, because the word of God tells me that he's building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I move around the country and I see where God is moving. I move across the world and I see where God is moving. I tell you something, I want some of that. I want some of this fire. I want some of this anointing. We cannot just exist a church having great services but having no power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm passionate about that. Otherwise, we're just playing church, having a good time. Well, there is more to our Christian lives than that. I received something recorded the other day. My wife received it on WhatsApp. It's a Muslim guy. I was moved by this story, but I was also sad at the same time, because what God said to him was, he doesn't know what is happening to the church that he's given power, the church that he has blessed. He says he doesn't know what they're doing. And so God is raising up people from all corners, Muslims, Sikhs, people who have a heart for God, but don't know the truth. Whereas we know the truth, and what are we doing? And God raised up this man. He taught in the mosques, and God appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him one night as he was praying. Actually, it was very early in the morning. Can you see that? 3 o'clock in the morning. This man is praying. He's dedicated. And I know he was not praying to Jesus, but he had a heart for God. Do you know that? God can meet people. You don't have to be praying to him, but if you have a heart and you seek after him, I tell you something, you will find him. And God has been bringing people in from all denominations, all faiths, and God, they're having a revelation of Jesus. Oh, because they have a heart for God. Where is the church? We heard it this morning. We need to be real with God. We need to know who he is. We need to know his power. We need to move in his power. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us as church. I'm passionate about this. Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus literally led him to a man. He says, go to a church around there. He went to a church, and the pastor led him to Jesus Christ. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it's a long story, but what I want to tell you is this, that in the midst of this, Jesus appeared to him again and told him to stand up in his room. And he stood up in his room. And he says, what happened next? He says, it's like the roof opened and he could see the heavens, and there was fire in the heavens, and the fire came down and engulfed him. He was on fire. I'm going to tell you, that was the fire of the Holy Spirit. This man who walked past churches and mocked them because he heard them speaking in tongues, he was saying in his mind, these guys are crazy. hear this man, when the fire of God came upon him, he began to speak in tongues. A Muslim guy. His family thought that he was crazy. They sent for a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist came, and the psychiatrist was laughing. And they asked, "Why are you laughing?" And he says, "Well, actually," he says, "I'm a Christian, and I've been praying for your family to be saved. And here is the first one. He's not only saved, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit." Ha! That's how powerful God is. I'm going to tell you, if you want a fresh anointing in your life, you can receive it. Amen. You can receive it. All you need to say is, "God, I am desperate for that touch. I'm desperate for that anointing." I know sometimes you go through life and you feel like you're just dead, you're empty, you've got nothing. I'm telling you something, the Holy Spirit will make a difference in your life. Why is it essential? Why is it essential to have this power? Power in the Greek is dynamis, and it loosely means or refers to strength, power, or ability. However, it's not just any power. And this word often refers to marvelous works or miraculous power. I'm going to tell you something. You will not be able to do the work of the kingdom without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can attend church day in, day out. You can be the best person on earth. You can be a great worker. You can fast and you can pray. But unless you are endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot do anything for the kingdom of God. You cannot preach the gospel effectively. You cannot cast out devils. You cannot heal the sick. You cannot release people from chains. And I'm going to tell you, this is what the church has been called for. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And it does not finish there. The Bible says when this power comes upon you, then you become my witnesses throughout the world. What are we doing, church? What are we doing? This is a challenge that comes to us. If we are honest with ourselves, many of us are not doing anything. What the Lord showed me last night, I don't want it for this church, but I want every one of us to make heaven. Amen. This is real. This is so real. Jesus Christ is coming back and is looking for a church that is full of the power of the Spirit, who can worship God in spirit and in truth. These, the Bible says, are those that the Father is seeking after. When you're a witness, when you have this power, you become a witness. A witness is somebody who has seen the evidence. And unless you've seen the evidence, you cannot tell anything. A witness is somebody who has experienced his presence. Unless you've experienced the presence of God, how can you share? A witness is somebody who's a carrier of his power, a proclaimer of the gospel. And the gospel, I've said this before, and I'm saying it right now, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than proclamation. It's more than what you say. The gospel, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, is also demonstration. We've got to be able to demonstrate the power that we say that we carry. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news. news to the poor. There is the proclamation. And here is the demonstration. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. I've got to tell you, in this world, I've seen it time and time again. People are depressed. Young people are oppressed and depressed. And who can they go to? They will go to the doctors, and they will receive medicine and tablets to get over their situation. But the real answer is in the church. We carry the power. Yes, we do. We carry the power of the Holy Spirit to release people who are captive. There are many people, young and old, who are bound. I see them all the time, bound with chains, spiritual chains. And who is going to release them? But you and I. This is what we've been called for. And we cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything effectively without the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe, I don't know about you, but I believe the church need the wind of the Spirit of God again. We've heard it through the prophecy. I believe there are many of us, the wind is blowing, but we're not catching it. I believe the Spirit of God, because we're living in end times, and as Joel prophesied, this is coming true, saints. He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is blowing in these end times. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that some of us need to be aligned to catch that anointing of His Holy Spirit. It might not be what you want to hear today, but I clearly know that the Spirit of God is speaking to hearts today. Hearts today, yeah. Some of us are thinking we have plans for the future. Tomorrow we're going to wake up and carry on. But I hear the Spirit of God saying that many of us need to get in line. Get in line for an outpouring of His Spirit.
Jesus. My God. Wow.
And you, look, you know, I'm just going to go track a little, but you know who you are. And I want to go back to that prophetic word, because this is a very serious day. Can I say, today's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is moving in this place, and God is speaking to people. A change must come. I hear the Spirit of God saying that a change must come, because the future that is ahead of you is very, very bleak. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, unless you are endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, many of you will not get through. Significantly. You thought you just coming to church today to hear a sermon. But what you're coming to hear right now is the voice of God in this place. It's a prophetic voice. And God is calling out to people in this place. He says that the days that you've been playing is over. The church days is over. God says He is here by His Holy Spirit to meet people. Oh. I don't know when the Holy Spirit comes, what it's going to look like. I don't know. It may not look like the book of Acts that we read about, or the 1904 Welsh revival when the Spirit of God was poured out. I've got to tell you something, saints. When the people of God is praying, we've been praying for revival. And I'm going to tell you, on the authority of God's word, is that He hears us. And I feel in my spirit that there is a wind that is blowing. A wind that is blowing from the north, south, to hear this, but I'm just being led by the Spirit of God now, because God is very serious about His church, about His body, that He has filled with His Holy Spirit. And He said many of us have been floating through this life without really acknowledging Him and knowing who He is. Many of us better be careful, because we may not make it to heaven. In the 1904 Welsh revival that happened in Wales, that's because people were praying and they were desperate for change. And when God decided to pour out His Spirit, people were just running to church to be saved. And instantly they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that God is moving. A couple of years ago we had two Sikh women turned up at the church waiting for me before 10 o'clock. They said, "Jesus, Sikh women, Jesus appeared to us." They were receiving Bible scripture. Depends upon you. We have been waiting for God to send it, when actually God has been waiting on us. He is ready to pour out, but he will not send. This is what I love about God. He will not force anything upon you. He will not send revival until we are ready to receive revival. I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is here. And revival will come. But we must be united. United. Having one heart. Having one mind. Being in one spirit. Being in one place. In one accord. We have to be there before God moves. The Bible says that on that day, they were all together. You know that you can be together, but have different spirits, different minds. They were all together in one place, which tells me that 120 were united in spirit. How do I know that? They were united in mind. They were united in heart. Their goals and their desires were the same. They were one in Christ. They looked and they expected this gift that was promised. They expected it all together. They were all in one place with one heart. You see the reason, I'm going to tell you this. The reason that God the Holy Spirit does not move in certain places is because there is division. Not what you want to hear this Sunday morning, but this is the truth. And I believe this is a prophetic word. There is division. And where there is division, the Spirit of God cannot move. God cannot work in a divided heart or a divided city or a divided house or a divided church. But when we are united, the power of God will come like a mighty rushing wind. That is the word of God. When you are united in spirit, when you're in love with one another, God says, that's when I will come. But until then, we're just floating through. We're just playing church. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, we need to be united. And he says, when you are united, he says, you will come like a mighty rushing wind. You see, we have to be united in love. We have to love each other. We might not like each other's ways, but we have to truly love each other. And many of us will say that we love the Lord. And we do love the Lord. But we fail to love each other. And the first and the greatest commandment Jesus gave, which is first and most important and the greatest, is recorded in Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus says, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, Jesus says, is very much like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The early church loved each other. I'm going to tell you that they loved each other so much that they sold their possessions, their property, to give to anyone who was in need. I don't know if there is anybody that would do that for the person sitting next to you, because that's your brother and that's your sister. We need to lose the pride. It exists in the church. It exists in heaven. So it can exist in the church. We need to lose pride. We need to be humble, very much like Jesus, who the Bible said he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on rid of unforgiveness. I hear the Spirit of God saying in this gathering today, God said you need to get rid of unforgiveness. We need to get rid of hatred, rid of gossiping. Some of us don't like what I'm saying. You feel uneasy, but that is the Spirit of God speaking in this meeting. Until we are in the place where we are united in Christ, the Spirit of God will not move. We will never see the healings that we've been expecting. We will never see the deliverance. We will never see salvation, because God cannot work in a divided house. And we want God. Don't you want God to move?
Yes.
I am desperate for God to move. I've seen glimpses of it, and I've experienced a little bit of it, but I'm going to tell you, I want more. A church asked me to speak a couple of weeks ago on contentment, and I was saying to them, yes, I'm contented with where God has placed me, but I'm going to tell you and be honest with you, I am not contented with what I have received, because I said, I want more. Those that search for and seek after righteousness, the Bible says, they shall be satisfied.
Amen.
Did it not say in Mark chapter 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand? I want you to tell you that you can even be divided in yourself. You can be in two minds, having the mind of Christ and yet entertaining the devil. Being in the church and in the world at the same time. Unsure of where you are, unsure of who you are, unsure of where you are going. Cannot figure out your left from your right. James 1:8 says this, that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. That's a city. That's a house. That's a person that is undivided. And until we, I put myself in there, become one with ourselves, one in Christ, and one with each other, God cannot move through us. And the desire of our hearts is, God, move again. Let revival come. You know, I'm just going to finish right there. Please just stand to your feet. The scripture says that when this day was fully come, when they were 100% ready, then God was ready. Maybe over those 10 days that they had to wait, because it took 10 days, maybe there were some things that they had to get right in their lives. Maybe there was some unforgiveness that some of them carried. Maybe they did not love their brother or their sister. Maybe some of them were in sin. But they were all in the church waiting. But God, the Holy Spirit, would not come until they were united. God has been speaking today. And I don't know if you are hearing it. But there is a rapture that is soon to happen. If you're in the church, you will be caught up. God is speaking. I don't know if your heart can capture it and hear it. And he's saying that some of us have really been playing church. Let's be honest with ourselves. We've just been coming to this building, but we are empty. Empty, 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 empty. You will never be filled. Everything that you're seeking after, the money, the fame, the husband, the wife, everything that you're seeking after in this world, I'm going to tell you that all of that is going to pass away. But what will remain is the spirit man. Shaba Rabba Sokoro Robo Bobo Sukuri. Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you right now. Feeling, sensing, hearing what God is saying to the church. And I know that God, I know it. God showed me. Hey! That he wants to transform your lives. Look, I'm just going to leave this place open. We heard it from the very beginning. God says he's looking for people who are going to surrender. I'm just going to leave you. You just come. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. Just come out of here. Just come and line up. Shabbat. Yekaraba. You know, God is not even looking at numbers. Thank you, my sister. But you know who you are. And I'm not going to prolong this appeal. I'm not. I'm not even going to call names, even though God has showed me. I'm not going to call names, but the Spirit, even now, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. There, God says, must be transformation, restoration. And anybody else, apart from these guys, who know that they need an infilling of the Holy Spirit, I need you to come as well. Just stand over this area if you need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need the outpouring of God in your life. Just come and stand over here. Father, in the name of Jesus, please come and stand behind. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want the church, because you carry power, you carry authority, I need you to stretch your hands to these people. Stretch your hands to my sister right now. Just raise your hands for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, bring transformation in this life right now. Lord, as she has been confessing, Spirit of the living God, I release. right now. I release God's power. I speak restoration in your life right now. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, keep your eyes upon him. Don't look to the left nor to the right. But I hear the Spirit of God say, focus on Jesus. Because there will be many distractions, especially in the days that are ahead. But God says, if you keep your eyes fixed upon him, nothing will move you. Father, right now I release your anointing power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing right now, God, I release power. More power, Lord. Oh God, let her be a mouthpiece for you. Right now I see that prophetic anointing that is upon you. You might say to yourself, who me? Well, the Spirit of God say, as you make yourself available, there is a prophetic anointing that is going to be released upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yisheke Rabba. Washetele. Praise God. Raise your hands high. My sister, God is going to fill you today. You're going to be filled to overflowing. God said that you came from a place of legalism. But God says now, today, you're going to know his power. Amen. Are you ready for that? That power that God is about to give you is going to transform your life forever. Just raise your hands. Church, can you stretch your hands again? This is body ministry. Rabo, suka. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I release this anointing right now. Shipa, raba, koraba. Yeah, Lord, her eyes are going to be opened. Right now, Spirit of the living God. She's going to be filled with power. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God right now. Your life is being transformed right now, my sister. More, Lord. More, God. More for her. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God upon you right now. I speak healing to your body as well. Healing in your body right now. I command that spirit of infirmity, loose you and let you go right now. Loose you, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rabba, just put your hands on her back for me. Put your hands on her back. Raise your hands. Spirit of the living God, I command every infirmity in your body to go in Jesus' name. Loose her now in Jesus' name. Loose her now. Now, loose her. In the name of Jesus, be healed, my sister, be healed. Rabo Sokora. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see Alvin. Broken, but you're restoring him. You're putting him back together again. Lord, he says today, I am surrendering everything to you. And as he surrenders, God, you're going to perform miracles. Because his house has been divided. But I hear the Spirit of God say, he's going to put it back together again. And you're going to be united. Now, Lord, I release that word over him. Spirit of God. I release your power, God. Yes, Lord, right now. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, fill him up to overflowing. Fill him up to overflowing. Yes, Lord. Every area in his life that needs mending, now, God, do it by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that the miracles will flow from him in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for my young brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, I remove every confusion from your life right now. Every confusion I remove from you. And you're going to begin to see clearly. Right now, I release the power of the Holy Spirit. May your heart be healed right now. May you be united. spirit, and in truth. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can the whole church just raise your hands for me, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, I heard your word, God, today. We heard your word.